going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Just determined to get me aggregated, huh?
Yep. Yep.
You know what my Twitter feed will look like if I answer your questions?
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, the first text on top of the line right now, 408, Mark, you suck for not answering me. And I'm like, oh, okay. And you do understand, there's just like, I mean, there's hundreds of these texts coming in throughout the show.
Pretty popular,
but it's,
you are.
Well, no, but it's there at the top of the board, so I see it, but I got to scroll down to figure out what's the text that I didn't answer, which I assume to be like, dude, you're dumb for not wanting Giannis on the team or whatever.
That's not a question.
The question as I go down was, Mark, when am I going to see you at AAU? And he does not mean like an AAU basketball game. He means Academy of Art University. I'll answer that. My class this semester is online only. So you're not going to see me on campus.
Oh.
Maybe in the fall. But no, I have not gotten my assignment yet. So, sorry to make that personal for a second, but the person said I suck. So you got to, you know, sports radio, you want a response. You tell somebody they suck. That's how you get a little, that's how you get action in this life.
There was another question from a different 408 number. He has not yet said that you or me or both of us suck, but he did ask a question. Can the Warriors go into the luxury tax again next season? Yes, they can.
Yes.
They could do it every year if they really want to. You just have penalties that pop up when you're a repeat offender. But they did duck out of it this year, and
That's
they can
right.
go right back into it next year.
They rebooted this season. And so I think that I don't know that they will. I think that there would be a total willingness to do it. I got to say, man, I really don't know what this offseason's going to look like. I really have not gotten a read yet on what's out there for the Warriors. But I'll say it this way, I guess. I believe they will be totally aggressive, yet not make what you think is a major move.
Hmm.
I think they will be very aggressive with the moves they think they need to make. And I don't think that they need to make a major move because I think that they think they already made their major move.
They did make their major
move. There you go. That's what I'm saying.
They found a co-star next to Steph.
That's
His name is
saying.
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, exactly.
Is he like the ideal co-star next to Steph that you'd want to lead you into the post-Steph years of this franchise? No, because he's pretty darn old as well. But you found a co-star next to Steph that you've been searching for ever since Klay Thompson tore his ACL in the 2019 NBA Finals. Like, you haven't had the co-star next to Steph since then. You also had Kevin Durant that year, but we also know he was hurt and then he didn't come back after that. You've been looking for that for a long time. The fact that they won a championship in 2022 without a legit co-star next to Steph is a damn miracle. Like, they have been looking ever since then. And you can give them credit for the Jimmy Butler acquisition or say that he kind of fell into their lap. However it happened, they now have their co-star next to Steph. The hard part is done. That's what Steve Kerr said on the Tolbert show. And he said that multiple times. I think he and Mike Dunleavy also said something to that effect 2 weeks ago when they, you know, went through their end of season presser, their exit interviews.
Yep.
They said, the hard part is done. Now it is building the roster around what we currently have. And frankly, I look at how the season ended, Willard, and not just like the loss to the T-Wolves, but the end of the regular season when they went, what, 23-8 in their final 31 games once they acquired Jimmy Butler, once he officially debuted, 23-8. And they beat the number two seed in the first round. And yes, it took 7 games. And yes, there were frustrations there. You and Lucas both think that the game six loss, which featured that 4-point play by Fred VanVleet to begin the fourth quarter, was like the end of it all because it led to Steph having to play another game. And maybe that led to the hamstring injury and yada, 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 resulted in their season ending in just the second round when maybe it could still be going on at this point. Regardless of all of that, I think there is a mountain of evidence that suggests this team, which was put together before Jimmy Butler was acquired, which was kind of just a cobbled together piece of until Jimmy Butler got here. I think it's good enough with a couple of moves on the margin with the Jimmy Butler acquisition in mind away from legitimately competing. They were really close this year, and this was a roster that, again, was nothing until Jimmy Butler got here. And if you were to ask Steve Kerr and Mike Dunleavy and get an honest answer, do you feel like that roster you just had to end the season maximizes what Jimmy Butler brings to the floor? They would tell you no. There's not enough shooting. Jimmy Butler's at his best when he can drive and kick. And when teams have to decide, well, are we going to collapse on those Jimmy drives or are we going to hug the three-point shooters? The Warriors didn't have three-point shooters, so teams could collapse on Jimmy and not pay a price because those open threes were missing. You just get a couple of players that fit around Jimmy Butler, and you're going to be loads better. It's why I think we can stop living in this fantasy world of Giannis and trading away all these players and all these picks for Giannis. That's the only way the Warriors can win a championship next year? No. You have a really, really good group of players. You just need a piece or two that fit, and you will be right there competing.
I kind of wish you had just said that a lot slower and louder, so that the people in the back can hear you.
You can try it again. Ready? 3, 2.
That was really long.
Yeah,
do it slow.
He's tired. No, he's
tired. Let me catch my breath.
No, he needs to. It's kind of like the beginning of the second quarter. He's going to go to the bench. We're going to bring in somebody else, give you a little breather. We'll get back to you in a second.
Are they really that far away?
Well, yeah.
Let me re-summarize it in one sentence.
A lot of you forget how good the Warriors were last year. That's all.
Or how bad they were, and then suddenly how
right,
good they were.
The way the season ended, there's two things that have happened. One, the way the season ended was so frustrating and deflating and happened so fast where you're like, you beat the two seed, and then you grab game one, you're up on the road in round two. You're ahead. You have home court advantage. But then that's it. Steph leaves, and then 4 games later, the season's over. That's so frustrating and abrupt that I think it has left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. And the other thing that's happened is seemingly about 42% of the fan base is completely distracted by a young player and a dramatic situation that we have just turned into the most polarizing thing in all of sports in the Bay Area this year. And it's really not fundamental to what the Warriors are doing right now. He might be a part of it, or he may turn into a player that becomes a part of it, and now they've got time to work on that, and they will. But the way they handled this during the season, while not perfect, I sort of see as understandable because of the injury, especially because of the injury. They were not granted time to figure this out at a higher level, and so they went with what they had, which was working. That's what everyone forgets. And so we've gotten distracted, we've gotten emotional, and we've gotten disappointed. And it has led to a fan base that I think, for many of you, You've forgotten that the Warriors, after the trade deadline, were the 2 seed in the West. They were fantastic. And yes, they're still old, and they will only be older next year, but they were fantastic. And I just, the nature of losing in the playoffs leads people to point to all of the things that they didn't like or that didn't work. But there were so many more that did. So many more things did work. And that's gotten lost in the shuffle.
And I feel like there's so many people out there, and maybe I'm making a vocal minority, the majority in my head, and you can let us know if you feel differently, but there's so many people who will say, yeah, I hear you. The group of Steph, Jimmy, and Dre, they were good, but you just can't win with a 37-year-old and two 35-year-olds. And next year when the playoffs come around, a 38-year-old and two 36-year-olds. And you might be right. You might be right. But this Warrior team has always been very fragile. If you don't have Steph, you have nothing. That has like almost always been the reality. Maybe other than a year or two when Kevin Durant was here and you survived the series without Steph. But you weren't winning anything beyond a first-round series versus the Portland Trailblazers or whatever it was without Steph. Always, 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 you were a Steph injury away from your season being over.
Well,
and that's still true. And now it's more likely now because, yes, he's going to be 38 the time the playoffs come around next year.
For sure.
But what is your best avenue to being good? It is still Steph. So as long as Steph is still on your team, which he will be until he retires, you're going to be a fragile team.
I don't disagree with you, but I also think that because this is the team we follow, we sort of brand them as that, and I don't
as
think
what?
That, as fragile.
Well, they are, but so is every team.
There you go. That's what I'm getting at. Nobody doesn't live in that reality. Nobody. The Pacers are dead if Halliburton gets hurt. They're dead. They're absolutely dead. The Thunder, as good and deep as they are, they're dead if Shea gets hurt.
Imagine the Wolves without Ant.
Wolves without Ant. And
Nuggets without Jokic.
Right. You're dead. You're dead.
And Bucks without Giannis.
I accept that. And I know it's tough. It's tough to watch the franchise walk off the court when, like, nothing even happened.
Knicks without Brunson.
Guys just running down the court. Like, super frustrating to have that much on the line. And that's it. It's like, there he goes. And scene. Right? But, like, and I know Boston won a game without. I'm not saying you can't win a game, but you can't function at a high level. You can't go win in the playoffs when you lose your guy. That's just the reality of the NBA. It's very, very akin, in my mind, to when an NFL team loses their quarterback.
You want to know what I heard?
You'll give me examples, Hostetler and Foles, you'll do that. So it's allowed, but it is highly unlikely. It is very rare that you can still function when you lose your guy.
I heard a little bit of, well, OKC's so good, even if Shea wasn't on the team, they're still going to the finals.
No, they'd still go to the playoffs.
Maybe in the playoffs.
But no, they're not going to the finals.
Not even close.
Denver would have killed them without Shea. Killed them. They almost beat him anyway. Let's go to Jonathan in the city. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, Mark and Mark. Mark with a C and Mark with a K.
Very good.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say, man, I kind of totally agree with you, Mark. I don't want to, Mark with a K, I don't want to mortgage the future for Giannis because I'm not even a basketball guy. And, you know, Giannis is not an unstoppable force. You could kind of form a wall in front of him and he can't shoot from the outside. Put him in the free throw line, he can't shoot free throws. What I want him to do is make some upgrades and also kind of find a way, you know, dig deep in their 4-time champion genius and find a way to utilize Kuminga. Kuminga should be their workhorse next year in the regular season because your core is kind of old. So figure out a way to make Kuminga, that 23-year-old athletic guy, be the workhorse in the regular season and also upgrade on a few positions.
Hey,
look at the Looney.
Yeah, Jonathan, can I challenge you on something? Because I would just love, like, I hear you, but here's what I want to know. When we say that to a team, it's kind of like if your boss and you know came to you and was just like, figure out a way to turn a pancake into a vegetable. Like, how are you doing that? Figure out a way for Jonathan Kuminga to be your workhorse in the regular season and then suddenly morph into something else in the playoffs that leans back in to Steph and Jimmy Butler, even though all three of them need kind of to have the ball in their hand? How do you do that?
I don't know, Mark. I'm not a basketball guy. That's why I'm asking the four-time champion brains of the, you know, the Warriors, because they're the basketball people. They just, I don't want that 4 years with Kuminga to just go down the drain. You know what I mean? They already made an investment, so try to figure out a way and then make some, you know, like Looney. Try to find a way to upgrade in the Looney position, because you can't have three, you know, non-offensive threats in a game anymore. You know, you're looking at the OKCs and the Pacers. You cannot be a top-heavy team in the NBA right now. Look at the Pacers and the OKC. They're deep, man. They're about 10 deep, those two teams. And you look at the top-heavy teams, they didn't even make it past the first round. You know, the Clippers, you know, Suns didn't even make it in the playoffs. And you got the Lakers, they make it past the first round. So top-heavy is not the way to go. But, yeah, I trust the Warriors, man. And let's go Warriors.
Okay, Jonathan, thanks. I like from a conceptual standpoint, I totally feel what he's saying, but I don't think that what he's asking for, quite frankly, is possible. We can say, oh, the Warriors are the basketball people. It's their job to figure it out. Not all, like, this isn't math. Not every equation has an answer. You can't just come up with something and be like, do this. And they're like, okay, like, we'll do it. Like that, I don't know how we lean into a player in the regular season and lean into somebody else in the playoffs and blend all these people together who actually all need the ball in their hand when there's only one ball. Like, there's a way for Kuminga and Butler and Steph to all play together, but I don't think there's a way to start changing who the workhorse is throughout the season. You have to use the season to be who you're going to be so that you're at your absolute height when you get to the playoffs, I feel.
It is something that Steve Kerr said a couple of weeks ago. If Kuminga is on the roster next year, they're going to spend a lot more time, at least early in the season, trying to find ways to make Kuminga work alongside Steph and alongside Jimmy specifically.
Yep.
And, well, first of all, I mean, it's kind of a given. They have to. And you opened our talking about the Warriors. You were setting the table for your ludicrous Giannis take by saying, I hope that Kuminga's on the roster next year.
That's right, because I don't think there's a huge trade to be made.
And I'll just say, if Kuminga's on the roster next year, they better find a way to play him.
I agree with that. But what I'm sort of like flagging here with what Jonathan said is lean into him as your workhorse.
Yeah.
You're not making Jonathan the one. Jonathan, like, there needs to be, and this is what everybody in this conversation leaves out, Steve's got to figure out a way to play Jonathan, and Jonathan's got to figure out a way to play with Steve. Period. This has to be a meet in the middle.
Yes, I agree with you. But in terms of if we zoom out and maybe zoom away from Jonathan's call a little bit, when we just take a larger view on the Warriors and how they can improve and how they can change their roster, it is very obvious whether it is Kuminga being on the roster and playing more and fitting more, or if it's Kuminga not being on the roster and fetching them something else. Kuminga is the pathway for the Warriors to improve next year, one way or another. Like,
correct.
That is the most logical way
to
happen.
Yeah,
so if Kuminga is on the roster, you cannot have a repeat of what the last 2 months of the regular season was. When he's healthy and he's hardly playing, and in the postseason he's getting DNPs.
Well,
you cannot have that
anymore. With you. And I'll give you a financial reason for that, too.
Well, he's going to cost a whole lot more next year.
There you go. You cannot spend, and I have no, like, I literally have
even if
no
it's 20
idea.
Million, that's a whole lot more.
I mean, maybe it might even be less than that. Like, if Brooklyn is, and reportedly not that interested, I don't know what kind of leverage he has to command a big number, but whatever. Even if it's 15, you can't sign someone to a contract like that for a number of years planning to DNP him. I agree with you 100%.
You're right about the money, but even if the money was veteran minimum, you have a player who is young and maybe doesn't have like an insane amount of value around the league. We're talking specifically about the Nets because they're the only team that has enough space to offer him more than $15 million a year. If if every team in the league had cap space, Kuminga would have a pretty robust market.
Like, I agree.
He has interest around the league.
For sure.
And the Nets, while the report from Slater is that they're not actively preparing an offer sheet for Kuminga, they are willing to be a contributor in a multi-team trade, and they're utilizing their cap space to make a trade work somewhere else. And there will be pathways for Kuminga to get on a different team by virtue of that Nets cap space. My only point is, if Kuminga is on the Warriors roster, it is absolutely terrible, pitiful asset management if what happened this past year happens again.
Agreed. I think the Warriors agree with you. To me, that all whittles down to time. And Steve said that directly to us. What they would have going into next year with Jonathan, if he's on the team, is time. And they did not have that.
A leeway to experiment.
Correct.
A little
bit. And a training camp and preseason games and less urgency in early regular season games, all of that stuff. Let's go to David in Novato. David, next up here on Willard and Dibs. Grandy in for Dibs. Hi, David. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, y'all. First of all, I want to mimic everything you're saying. The team is there, right? It's a motion offense. We are best when Steph's off the ball. That's when we get one-on-one with Kuminga. We get pods. Look at the data. Pods, shooting percentage went super down when Steph was not in the game, right? So with time gone, with Jimmy knowing a game plan where he can attack and not going for layups and pushing that balls and not taking those easy buckets, and then we have a team that we put the pieces in the place to actually hit these shots and make these easy plays, things will move. If you go back to the early ages of when we were successful, we had the ball moving, having easy buckets. I think that is actually an easy opportunity with the team we have. We just have to have some people that will go in and get buckets. That's the thing that's getting me, guys.
Well, and I get that, but at the same time, David, appreciate it. I mean, we all have that sort of feeling when you look at it, especially when Steph is either not on the floor or is being, you know, guarded by an Amen Thompson or something like that, and that Warrior offense feels like it just stops and there's nobody who can go get a bucket. I just think that there's a little bit more philosophy and complexity to how an NBA team goes about trying to get a bucket. And what I hear often, and you know, talking with everybody here at 95.7 and all of our callers, the way we watch basketball is sort of the same way we play playground basketball. And it's just like, dude, it's the ball and the ha-ha and the bucket. Right. And that's not how NBA teams do it. So even if you stuck five ha-has out there, I think you're going to stink. Like, I think you're going to stink. You have to have a strategy in terms of how you attack an NBA defense. And so it's not just as simple. That's why I have bought all year into this concept of things need to fit. You can't just say Jonathan can get buckets, therefore gets to be on the floor. Spacing matters. Penetration matters. Strategy matters. The way that a defense is sort of strategically going at you, you need to be able to break that down with X's and O's and intelligence and all of those things. And then those five players who are out there, that has to all fit together. It's not just give me five guys who can score and therefore they will. So I think that's what led us down this road.
It's also just like individual matchups.
Totally.
Like team on team. Like, why were the Nuggets a much better matchup for the Thunder? Or Nuggets were matched up better with the Thunder than the Wolves did, because the Nuggets have Jokic and he's not bothered by the wing defenders of the Nuggets like Anthony Edwards was. Can't be bothered because he's a 7-footer who can pass. Like, it's just so much of basketball isn't just like it's the strategy for a team and it's the plan and the style of your offense and all that, but it's also just like, what team are you playing? And how do you match
up? No doubt.
Is X player going to be played off the court because the opposing team has X, Y, and Z, and they can disturb that player with this length and athleticism? Okay, well, then we're going to go away from that player for this series.
888-957-9570. We're heading into the last hour of the week. 888-957-9570. I'm out on Giannis to the Warriors. Maybe not for the exact reason that you'd think if it sounds like that. I think he's wonderful. I think you get your hands on him if you can. I just don't think the Warriors can. It does not make sense at this time. So 888-957-9570, more on that. Plus, we can circle back to the news of the day, which is the 49ers and Eagles getting together on a trade. And if you did not hear the details of that, we'll have that for you coming up next. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. With Grandy here, this is Willard and Dibs.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to pop! Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hatton cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.